You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, when you talk about those principles, that's what Father God asks of us. That's what Jesus demonstrated the Father's heart mm-hmm. to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he talks to us about how to work things out. He says unity is the place where is the greatest right. blessing, is the place the anointing flows, is the place that, of all the things Jesus prayed about in John 17, 23 was, our greatest witness to the world is our unity
that's right.
and walking, our love for each other.
That's right.
But yet it seems, after all these thousands of years, the enemy fights. I mean, it happens.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the biggest thing that, and we almost forget, if I just love you, that will be more powerful than anything you could ever preach or do.
And one of the things God hates is sowing discord among the brethren.
I don't think people know that.
I don't think they do.
It's like, ugh. So bringing this thing, you know, I'm just so grateful for you. I really am.
Oh,
I thank you for your stand over the years. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your time, you know, giving time to me and us and all of us here in our audience. And I thank you for who you are. I remember, you know, Brother Ken was, he had to go through some difficulties in part of his life. And so he was walking with a walker. We're at Liberty doing a meeting or something. And I remember you two in the bathroom. You know, he was there washing his hands, and you went to the restroom washing his hands, and you sat there and you pulled off paper towels, and you're standing right by the sink and you're waiting for him to finish washing his hands, and you're giving these paper towels to dry his hands. It was just so beautiful.
Thank you.
It's just a beautiful picture, because he wasn't stopping you, which is important. Sometimes we stop people from honoring God in our lives. And you were honoring who he was, and he honored each other. And I'll never forget how that's imprinted on my heart, because you do that, and so much of the church thinks it's the honor is wrong. And it's like, it's the greatest thing you can do. You know, somebody says, tell me who you honor, and I could tell you who you are.
And
what you are, yeah.
Well, I had a series years ago on honor, and I honestly believe whatever we honor is what we get more of. And in our culture, we honor a lot of dishonorable things, and we don't honor a lot of honorable things. And therefore, we keep getting a lot of trash and not the kind of character mm-hmm. we really want. And we don't want to deal with the underlying problem. We want to pass more laws and have more rules. And what we really need to deal with is a biblical foundation for culture. And honor, when whatever you honor, you not only get more of and replicate, but you receive the blessings. It's like Elisha washed Elijah's hands. Mm-hmm. He served, poured water on his hands. He served him. And he was promoted. He got the mantle. And whatever God is honoring is what we should be honoring.
Yeah.
If God's not honoring it, we ought not to be honoring it.
That's good.
And so if I see God's hand on somebody, I honor that. Because I want God to bless me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found in traveling, and I've done this for a long time, that when a congregation or a leader honors me, and I have a hard time receiving honor,
mm-hmm.
Good or bad, but I've found that when they do honor you, and sometimes that involves an honorarium, mm-hmm. that involves finances, that it builds a platform, and God will bless me to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I've just noticed. I don't create it. You can't create it. But where the door is open and hospitality is rich, mm-hmm. God pours stuff through you for them, because they're honoring God.
Mm-hmm.
I learned this in a predominantly black congregation in Pittsburgh, and it was my first time to minister there. This is back in the very early 70s, and it was my first time, and I went there not knowing, and it was a large church, and I noticed a guy following me around, and he was dapperly dressed. He a nice sport coat and a handkerchief in the pocket, and beautiful shoes, and he wasn't saying anything. And I didn't know, you know, why he was doing that. And finally, they had me preaching in Sunday school and worship service. It was in the middle of the summer. It was not air conditioned, and I sweated my clothes down preaching in Sunday school.
Right.
And I went back to the pastor's office to towel off, and there's this guy. And I'm startled, you know, and he said, "You can't do that." And I thought I must have broken a taboo or something.
Right,
a different culture. He said, "No," he said, "you can't do that." So that's my job.
Oh, wow.
He said, "Jesus didn't come himself, but he sent you. And if Jesus had come, I would do something for him that I'm going to do for you."
Wow.
He helped me with my jacket off, my shirt. He wiped me down with a towel. I melted in my shoes. Yeah. He said, "I can't preach," but he preached me the best sermon on serving I had ever heard.
Wow.
And when he got through helping me with it all back on, he backed off and he said, "You look nice."
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Man," and he, I didn't know at the time, but he was well known for being a servant. And his name was Brother Love.
Brother Love.
And Brother Love taught me a lot.
Wow.
In fact, that whole church taught me a lot. And I had freedom. If you go in the average, and I hope this is not misunderstood, but if you go in the average African-American congregation, they will honor the pulpit. And they will get it out of you. If you got it in you, they'll get it out.
Right.
It's quite different than the average white congregation.
It's much more enjoyable to minister.
It makes you feel like you really know something.
Yeah, right.
And,
yeah.
But they honor you because you're a servant of God.
Yeah.
And but they have been led by ministers through the years.
Right.
To more freedom and so forth.
Correct. Yeah.
And I learned whatever you honor that God puts in your path, you get the blessing of God.
Yeah.
And it's like the man said, Jesus didn't come, but he sent you, and I'm going to do something for you that I would do for Jesus. And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me."
Right.
They said, you know, "When did we go into prison? When did we see you naked? When did we?" He said, "Inasmuch as you did it under one of these, the least of these, my brethren." And I think honoring people that don't look honorable,
right,
does something with God.
Right.
And I tell people, I say, when you see somebody, just remember Jesus might be standing behind them.
True.
And it changes how we see and how we relate to people.
God says, "If I am your Father,
yes,
where is the honor?" And all the things that he's like, all the religious stuff and everything. He's like, "If I'm your Father,"
right?
So honoring is not a side note or a side sermon. It should be our life.
It really should. I think there was in the South particularly, and in some other cultures, a cultural honor. And I think in the history of our country at times, there have been a cultural honor. I think we've lost most of it. And you can't honor somebody and denigrate their character at the same time.
Correct.
And I think that's going on. And we don't see the image of God in people. That we need to see, even people who are astray or lost. So,
it's interesting how, with a huge culture of father's absence and is a huge culture of dishonor. It's almost like they're handed. I mean, a man's not going to hang around where he's not honored. He's going to just.
Exactly.
He'll just say, well, I don't know why he left me. It's like, maybe that's why he left you, because he's like, he was honoring you by leaving, but he thought that, you know, that dishonor happening in the home. You know, everybody, what was Father's Knows Best and all those programs. Well, today.
Oh, that's over.
That is over. You know, I mean, one particular quote just recently in Dr. Michael Brown's book, a recent book he has, that it says that some of the culture saying that men need to be eliminated off the face of the earth and brought down to a number to maintain 10% of the population. That's how significant it is.
Well, it's hatred. There's no question. There's no question at all that it's the spiritual thing behind it, and it's the destruction of leadership, the destruction of the image of God in us. It's vociferous. It's now manifest. It's not subtle anymore.
Right.
It's right out in public. But it's no coincidence that the first social commandment is to honor your father and mother.
Comes with a promise.
That's right. And if we don't, then the promise is not there. It's removed. And that's, if you honor them, you get their deposit, which is history.
Right.
We're in a very precarious time with regard to honor.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you see in the 60s, right now what we're seeing now is a harvest of the seeds of the 60s, where there was this major attack and assault on this middle class. They tried to flip America. They couldn't. The Cloward and Piven methodologies, because everybody was so happy and blessed, and they weren't convinced they had a bad life. They were living, Americans were living the best. One income was taking care of the family. The mother was able to be with the family if she could work if she wanted to, but they had to convince her that what she had was bad when what she had was great. I mean, compared to the rest of the world and what was going on at the time. So Cloward and Piven, they tried to crash the system, do these different technologies. You got Saul Alinsky with all the things that he was doing. Who said he would organize hell if he went down there?
Yeah.
But that was being sown in the 60s. It's like now we got this harvest. It's like that was from the outside in. Now it's from the inside out. It seems like those same mindsets.
Well, Saul Alinsky dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to Lucifer.
Yes, he did.
And he mentored one of our presidents.
Yes, I know.
And somebody else who wanted to be.
Yeah, I know that one.
And it's insidious. He was a community organizer who knew how to get people that didn't like each other to work together against a common foe.
Authority.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And that's been an insidious process.
He dedicated it to Lucifer, because he said Lucifer did this against God.
At least he had his own kingdom. That's right.
Which shows you that is a direct assault against Romans 13, 1 through 5, God's established authority in the earth. That if you want to change authority, you got to pray to God about it. You don't organize against it.
Yeah.
It's
an insurrection.
Yes, it's an insurrection.
It's exactly the spirit of Lucifer is the insurrection spirit. Well, I think things are going to get clarified. They're going to get more clear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see, I think the righteous will do more righteously, the wicked will do more wickedly, and what has been underneath is coming out for everyone to see.
Yeah.
And that's going to be good. It's going to be painful.
Yeah.
But it's the intent of the seed, the original seed. You can see the crucifiers and the crucified. They were very different.
They were after the cross.
Right.
Well, I know this. I want to be a part of it. You know, I pray that I get a chance to be a part of it. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for everything you're doing. I mean, it's amazing your schedule. You're traveling and flying and driving and everything. And how you're just fathering, pastoring so many people and taking care of them. I appreciate if you keep us in your prayers and thoughts.
Thank you. I'd appreciate the same.
Any wisdom, anything that you would have, you know, feel free to just contact us and let us know. And we'll stay connected. And I love that Trout at Felix is in Mobile. But the wisdom you shared in this program was very, very important.
Well, thank you.
I feel like, you know, we're going to make sure everybody can connect to different sources that you have, you know, with scsmpublishing.org. We'll make sure that's available. And I feel like, you know, that our generation, the next generation, will be successful. It'll be based off how we listen to those who have gone before us, imitate those who have gone before us.
I agree. The genealogies are not there for nothing. There's a reason why they're in the Bible. And we need history. And unfortunately, we're not getting it. But there are some that know it, and some will preserve it, and some will pass it on. And it will stay alive. That's how we got the what we have.
Right.
And we can bring it on. We just need to be faithful.
I always say it's much better to borrow an experience instead of buy an experience, so you can listen to someone. You know what I'm saying? You can save yourself a lot of pain in your life. The benefit of just listening is like, oh, that's what happened when you did that? I won't do that. That's something I'm not going
to
do.
My dad used to tell me, he said, son, there are two ways to learn, the easy way and the hard way. Why do you always choose the hard way?
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.